Welcome to another episode of the Teachers Off Duty Podcast. On this episode, we're going to be talking about classroom management strategies. You know, the ones they teach you in school versus how they actually go down in real life. And we're going to be talking about things like PBIS.
Call and response.
Using Nickelback as a classroom management tool.
What's up, educators? Welcome back for another wonderful episode of the Teachers Off Duty Podcast, the comedy tour takeover. Ooh. It's your man, KC Mack, with my special guest. And listen, man, before y'all do it, because I've had a wonderful time with you, man. This has been probably one of the funnest months ever.
Aww.
Week after week.
We had some laughs.
Somebody play Boys and Men. It's so hard to say goodbye yesterday.
Yeah, do the slow montage of us just like slow motion laughing together.
Well, I actually can't stand either. No, just kidding.
Let's let the
somebody get a new vest and now they're acting all fancy. Yeah,
yeah. I got my finance bro vest on. I get an attitude. You want to talk about your finances? Catch me on Wall Street.
Tell them who you are, my friend.
My name is finance bro Gabe Dannenbring. Happy to see ya. Happy to meet ya. Let's talk about your 401k or your 403b. I don't know whichever one you got. You're educated, so I got that 403b. Who's this, or nothing, or you're broke, because we're all teachers and we're broke. Who's this lovely lady sitting over there?
It is Jess Smith.
Hi.
Teacher Tales of Miss Smith.
Hey.
It's great to see you.
It's Gabe from work.
No way. Hey.
We did the podcast together.
Teacher besties.
That's crazy. Did you get that rash taken care of?
Oh. I told you that in confidence, Gabe. I told you that in confidence.
You guys.
But now that we're talking about it.
Speaking of rashes.
KC,
speaking
what's
of
up?
Rashes, yeah. This guy's sitting next to me. Who is it? What's his name?
And if you just want to laugh your butt off, you need to make sure that you catch the Board Teachers Comedy Tour. Ah. That's going to be live in living color. And guess what? We have a few more shows this month.
What?
We've been rocking it all month. You definitely want to check these shows out. We're coming to Poughkeepsie, New York.
Whoa.
Akron, Ohio.
Ah.
Wabash, Indiana.
Yeah.
Joliet, Illinois.
Yeah.
And Toledo, Ohio. And speaking of Joliet, it's sold out.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, you're going to have to go to another city. But just make sure that you guys follow Board Teachers and you can find out where the tour is going to be next, because you definitely, like I said, don't want to miss it. Yeah. The link will be in the description. And guys, real quick again, because this is your last week, I did something special for you guys.
Oh, what'd you get us?
I baked you a cake. I'm kidding. I've been here the whole time. You know I ain't got no cake.
What?
I just felt like we should have had a cake.
Now I want a cake.
No, but real quick. You guys, with you guys being comedians and with you guys being educators, now, I know the obvious would be when I ask you this question, but I mean, with some serious deep thought, which one do you like better?
Oh. I don't have favorites. I love all my jobs equally.
Oh, it's politician, Gabe.
One job. So get this. Here's the thing, okay? Here's the thing. One job involves trying to make people laugh.
Right.
One job involves making people laugh.
Ooh.
One job involves getting called a lot of mean names.
Right.
One job involves...
calling people a lot of mean names.
Calling people a lot of mean names. So it's like the when you ask your parent, hey, mom and dad, who's your favorite kid? Mm-hmm. And they go, we can't pick favorites. We love you all equally. I love both jobs equally.
Okay. Same question for you, Jess, except instead of the teaching and comedy, which one of your children do you love the most?
Ah.
Question, don't ponder. I'm kidding.
But you thought of one. You thought of a kid.
Maybe.
One came to your head.
Maybe.
No, how hard has it been just being a mom? And I mean, you're a new mom,
mm-hmm.
but you have a toddler.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, with balancing, you know, all that you do, how hard has that been? Because I know it's a lot of educators out there who are balancing both, you know, being mom and professional. So
yeah.
How's it been?
Well, I couldn't balance it all being an educator. So
I did it. Did you give up your kids? Which one did you choose? Did you choose mom life or teacher?
Mommy will be back in 18 years. No, I, like, again, like all of the teachers who are parents, like I hats off, go to you, because I cannot even imagine trying to balance all of the things that parents mm-hmm. are doing and going into the classroom. It's a lot. Kids are hard, my home and in the classroom.
I have two cats living at my house.
Cat lady.
No. Yeah, I
call them a lady.
No, so, you know, the whole, like, being a parent and being a teacher thing, man, I got two cats at home, and they don't really say a lot, and they don't require a lot. And it's hard work for me to teach kids all day and then go take care of two animals. Like, I can't imagine going home and taking care of kids. So all of you teachers who are parents out there, bless your soul, because I don't know how you do it. Don't know how you do it. You got a kid at home.
I have two kids. They're teenagers, yeah. And my daughter's in college now, and my son, he's a junior. But I guess with both jobs, comedy takes me away from them more, you know, because I travel a lot. Teaching, it was, you know, cool because I was, you know, able to see them every day when I'm around. But, you know, it's just hard with the travel. But, you know, with great things come great sacrifices. Sorry, kids. But no, I mean, we joke around. Listen, we joke around, but I mean, you know, like asking you these questions, it kind of ties in, not directly to this episode, but it kind of allows us to kind of let the people know, like, we're actually real people. Like, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
We have real families, real things going on. So when, as we dive into this, it's like we're credible, you know, because we've been through it. We've been through the education side. We've been through outside the education side as parents. And just happen to be able to manage all together, all these aspects of our life. And today's episode is about classroom management strategies, what they teach you at school versus what it's like in real life. Bow.
Wildly different things.
Wildly different things.
I go back to, like, when I first started my teaching career, and I go back to, like, doing practicums and student teaching. And when you're in that stage, you're the cool young person who is there.
Yeah.
And kids are going to, for the most part, like you no matter what. They're like, oh, this is like a guest speaker every day. Mm-hmm. I'm going to listen to them. And, like, it's just easier for classroom management. And then I learned, like, my first year of teaching, I was like, these kids don't care at all that it's my first year. All of a sudden, you go from being the cool young, like, you know, intern pretty much, student teacher, to all of a sudden, you're the bad guy.
Right.
Like, you're the teacher. Like, you are in charge. They don't care that if it's your first year or your 50th year. They're gonna push boundaries on you. And that's one thing that I wish I would have been taught is, hey, student teaching, it's going to be pretty relatively easy to have rapport for the most part. I know everyone's got different experiences, but for the most part, that's how it goes. But then your first year, your expectations are the same as someone who's been teaching for 20 years, and the kids are kind of going to treat you the same. So I don't know. I learned really quickly that going with the classroom management strategy of, hey, I'm the cool young guy, does not work. Like, that doesn't work. They'll eat you up.
Yeah, I went in with the same attitude.
Cool young guy.
Exactly. And I did that through student teaching. And then when I got my job as a sixth grade teacher at that same school, like, I was the youngest teacher because all of the other ones were, like, at least over 45. Mm. So I was the young one. I was the cool one. And they listened to me. They loved my class. They loved hanging out. They listened. We had a blast. Mm. But then the second year came around and I wasn't the latest hire and I wasn't the younger one anymore.
Right, because you had a birthday. He was 1 year older.
Exactly.
She's not cool no more.
That is exactly right. Thank you so much.
They lean on her to cap you. Like, over 25? Next. Get out of here. That's how like I feel even. Like, I'm in my, I don't know if it's my fourth or fifth year, but I feel myself getting older in the classroom and it's different. Like, it's, I'm not the young whippersnapper like I used, but like for real, like I'm not 22 anymore.
Right.
It's just it changes your perception. Like I started teaching when I was 21.
Right.
And I was young, and then just as you get older, your perception changes, and just some things, management styles change.
Yeah. Right.
And all of a sudden, things you didn't care about, you start caring about, right. And things you used to care about, now you realize it isn't really a big deal. And
right.
It's just a natural progression of classroom management is as you get older, you just look back on all the years and you're like, nah, this is different now.
Right.
And that helps too, because it's like, oh, well, a good question, I guess, is, okay, as you get older, mm-hmm. right, but your students stay the same age.
Uh-huh.
You know?
You're right, Matthew McConaughey.
I'm trying to tell you. So what I'm saying is,
you know what I'm referring to?
No, I don't. I lost it. Wait, hold on.
It's a Dazed and Confused.
Oh, wait a minute. Oh, that's one of my favorite movies. I should have caught that.
Yeah.
I like them redheads, man. I forgot. Oh. I'm sorry.
but for real, you're right. Like
so what I'm saying. So yeah, as the older you get, and I get it, the more wiser you get. But those kids are coming in. Now you're getting another group of 12-year-olds, whatever. Yeah. And now you have to implement that, but it's a whole different 12.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right?
It's not the same 12, right? You're older. You're getting a little bit more. So mm-hmm. I think the ability is just for you to be able to adjust and pivot more with your classroom management skills.
Yeah.
Because you know what I'm saying? Because what worked with the last class, you might have to.
Yeah.
Exactly. Like, and I think that was something that I wasn't anticipating in like going in from college is the amount of classroom management strategies that I would have to go through.
Yeah.
Like I never had a classroom or a class that was just solely about classroom management.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Mm. Like, did you?
No, it was just like methods. Like it was never like
PBIS.
Yeah.
I never got a college course about that. Uh-huh. Let me tell you what.
Here's how you write an 8-page lesson plan though.
Yeah.
Let's hammer this home. I think with classroom management, each method is different for each person. There's some of the cutesy little things like the call and response. Man, I that's not me. That's not, I can't do that stuff. I feel goofy when I do it. For some people, that's their jam. I can't do it. I feel weird, you know. I don't like doing those. And I don't know. Do you guys ever do those call and responses?
I don't.
I tried. I don't know. It just never felt like me more than anything else. And there was a lot to remember, you know. There's a lot for them to remember, too. So.
You're performing at that point.
Yeah.
Yes. It's a performance.
Yes.
It just doesn't feel authentic.
And it was almost more chaos sometimes, mm-hmm. you know, because, like, these call and responses, they're funny. They're clever. I don't know where people come up with them.
Their effectiveness wears away after a while.
Yes. Or like they come up with their own call and responses and it just becomes like an obnoxious other thing to manage at that point.
What's some of the funniest call and responses that you ever heard of?
Okay, so like flat tire and the class would go,
what? I remember that.
I didn't know that was a thing.
Yeah.
Or waterfall. I remember that one.
Yep.
Yeah, I don't do a lot of the call and responses. I think my kids, like my students, if I did it to them, they'd be like, what? Like, this is new. Like, one of the things that I do like doing is I'll just stand, I'll put my hand up, and that just means, okay, be quiet. Like, that, and I wait for them. I like that. But one of my favorite, like, series of videos I made on my TikTok are going through, like, unorthodox classroom management strategies.
Mm-hmm.
And some of my favorite ones, like, one of them that I do is if the kids aren't going to stop talking, I just threaten to start crying. Mm. I'd be like, hey, class, I will cry. Like, you will see a full-grown man cry.
They'll if that be like, was my class, they'd be like, okay, this is like, just a normal day. Yeah, this is a normal day for Ms. Smith.
I threaten that. I threaten. There was one time I told the kids, like, if you don't stop talking, I'm only going to play Nickelback the rest of the year.
Oh, Lord.
That they got quiet real quick.
See, that works with middle school.
Yeah, they thought it was funny. They was like, that's funny. They're like, we don't want to listen to Nickelback.
Or then you get the rogue classes that are like, okay, that would be hilarious.
Yeah, we love Nickelback.
We love Nickelback. Like, we want to listen to Nickelback.
I think, honestly, though, when it comes to Nickelback, not that anybody asked, but I'm going to say it anyway.
How do you feel about Nickelback?
I'm a closeted Nickelback fan.
No.
I'll never admit it.
Oh, no.
I'll never admit it, but I'm a closeted Nickelback fan. Like, on the record, nah, I don't like them. But off the record,
you listen to them.
I'm going to listen to Nickelback on the flight on the way home today.
Look at this photograph.
It's good. Thank you. Exactly. It's good.
Wait, do it again. Let me hear it again. Do it again.
Look at this photograph. Every time I do it makes me
laugh.
Exactly. Laugh.
Maybe that'll be my new call and response.
Look at this photograph.
And the kids,
every time I see it, it makes me laugh.
Like, yes. The Vine, look at this graph. You see that one?
Oh,
so you know what? Maybe Monday I'm gonna use that as a classic. I will actually use Nickelback call and responses.
I want a report back.
I think that'll go really, really well. Really good.
Man. Well, so relevant.
So relevant. I mean,
look at this Venn diagram graph.
Or I'll just make it Creed.
Creed.
Oh God!
But in all reality, when I needed
Nickelback
to like
rocks.
Have the yes, I really do love snap. Nickelback.
Closeted though.
Yeah, closeted. I don't tell people. But in all reality, for like classroom management, what I did was I made songs for like stupid stuff. Like, did you do you ever make songs?
No,
no,
teach
no.
Middle school and high school.
I feel like what's, high schoolers would
sing me your sweet.
Oh my gosh, it was always like spur of the moment. Like I never
was
planned
freestyling?
Them. I was free
up the
styling.
Trash. Pick up the trash.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Or like when we were talking about forces in motion, like I made up a song, like we're airplanes, and I.
Wow, can you do that airplane? Woo!
I like that. Hold on.
I believe that was the way that I got the kids to remember.
I sang one song. I've sang one song to remember. They help my kids remember mean, medium, mode, and range.
Yeah.
I don't teach math, but this year we've got like this whole different thing, and there's like a class period every couple weeks that I have to like do a remedial math lesson, and the kids were not getting mean, median, mode, and range. They were having a hard time with it. So when I was in middle school, we had shout out Mrs. Klimisch. She was awesome. She sang this song that helped the kids remember mean, median, mode, and range.
Okay,
and I was getting so frustrated that they couldn't get it that I literally said, "All right, guys, I'm gonna sing you a song," and I sang them the song. And it was so bad, but the kids were like, "Oh, it kind of makes sense." And I felt so like embarrassed up there. Like I felt like I had the eyes of 25, 12-year-old kids just judging me while I was singing. And it like,
now you know how Nickelback feels.
Now I know. it felt like I was bombing on, like it was. Yeah. But then afterwards, like the kids were like, "Oh, that makes sense." But you're a terrible singer. I'm like, I never said I was a good singer.
Right.
So.
Do you remember the song? Do you remember the song?
Yeah.
Mean, the average mode, most often range, the greatest number minus the smallest, median in the middle. Well, put them in order from the greatest to the least. Ba, ba, ba. Hooray.
Wow.
I learned that in eighth grade.
I understand that now even better listening to you sing.
Thank you. Thank you.
Wow.
But when I sang it, I was a bit frustrated, so it sounded more like screamo than like friendly, happy. It was like, "Mean the average." Just, you know, kind of edgier. Classroom management, you know?
I wrote a song to teach the kids about cleaning themselves. Oh. And it goes like this. Take a bath every day. Let those odors float away. Hygiene means we all keep clean. See what I mean?
Wow. That was really good.
Did your mom teach that to you?
I got it off of Porky's.
You got it off of
some movie from the 80s.
Yeah.
Grandpa Mac, go away.
Well, no, you know, you want something though? This was one of my biggest challenges with classroom management. Okay, so, and I don't know if you guys ever had to do this before, but have you ever had to take over a class in the middle of the year or middle of the semester? Mm-hmm. Or you always started from the beginning?
Like, all of a sudden they're like, hey, you're teaching this now?
And or if you, like, started at a school late, you know, in the middle of the school year.
No.
Okay, so I started doing this resource class middle school, and my challenge was, and I probably started in, like, few months into the semester. Mm-hmm. And
it's like October?
Yeah, like October.
It's the way a calendar works.
It'd be like that, don't it?
Yeah, every year.
Is there a song for that?
October, October, make sure that you're sober when you're teaching your class. Make sure you got an empty glass. What?
For sobriety? I don't think that's how that works.
I think you want the glass empty.
You want the glass empty in September.
You don't want a glass.
You don't. No glass.
No glass?
No
glass. All right. No, guys, y'all so silly. Stop it. No, I'm talking about taking over a class. This was my problem. They didn't have a teacher for this position. So the AP was actually teaching the class.
Really?
Yes. Oh, my God. I was shocked to hear about that, too. Now, here was the biggest challenge for me. I'm now supposed to compete with her classroom management. They already have a high level respect for her.
Yeah.
And I'm transitioning now as the teacher on record. So it was hard because, and I would come in and shadow her like the first few days, you know what I'm saying, kind of watching her. And I was just sitting off on the other desk and just watching, you know, floating a little bit. But as soon as she was said, okay, you ready for me to pass the reins? I was like, yeah, let's do it. Man, those kids. Oh. Gave me hell.
Really?
And I couldn't really go back to her like, hey, I need help. I can't, you know. But it was like, I was put in a hard situation.
How's it going, Casey?
Hey, tap out.
Yeah. I was like, everything's fine. It's fine.
I'm loving it.
Them kids are learning. But it was kicking my butt because I couldn't, it's like, my first impression I was given, I wanted to be like, okay, I have to be stern, but I was like, she was like really stern, but I was like, I don't want to be that stern. I don't want them to be that first. But I get it is so important that you have to establish that relationship with them first where they respect you and understand and follow your rules. But it was like, I'm like, I got to give them a break because you went from having this high figure, you know what I'm saying, in our school to like, and rightfully so, they should have kind of relaxed a little bit like, woof. Because we had to be on our best A game for these first few months, and now we can kind of... So you know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
so
I was like, absolutely.
Trying to, you know, balance between. But yeah, I failed.
Like, I look at some of the students, and I think it's interesting for kids that they have to go... Let's say there's 9 periods in a day if they're in secondary. Mm-hmm. They have a different teacher with different expectations and classroom management styles in each of those 9 classes. Like I catch myself times as a teacher where I'm like, oh, why don't these kids do this? Why don't they do that? It's like, wait a second. They've got different teachers every single day that are having, you know, different management styles, and they're going to operate differently in each class.
Right.
But I think one of my favorite things that I do with my classroom management is after they come back after first semester, it's like after Christmas break, that's a huge reset for me.
Right.
It's like, okay, what worked? What didn't work? Mm-hmm. Let's reassess expectations. Let's go through it again so then all the kids know, like, hey, we're back on the same page. Mm-hmm. Here are the expectations. And what I've started doing, which really, really helps with my classroom management, is at the beginning of each semester, I have the kids write down expectations of their classmates, expectations of themselves, and expectations for their teacher. And then I write down expectations for myself, expectations for my coworkers, and then expectations out of my students. And we have a good dialogue and talk about, hey, here's what we expect out of each other. And then that helped me with my classroom management because I'll stop and tell the kids like, hey, you guys told me that what you expect out of me, and we made a deal that I'll try to reach that every day, but right now you're not reaching your end of the deal. You're not reaching the expectations that that we agreed on. And that little bit of reasoning really does well with secondary.
Yeah.
And granted, there's some kids that they're like, screw this guy, whatever, I don't care.
Right.
Yeah, that's a small percentage. But for the masses, that tends to work decently. I like doing that.
Well, that's kind of like a class contract in a way.
Kind
of,
yeah.
Like how like some elementary teachers do at the beginning of the year. It takes ownership for the kids.
Totally.
And I think that is super important when you're talking about classroom management. There's almost like, when I was in elementary school, it was almost like the teacher did no wrong ever.
Yeah.
And I think one of the things that I really wanted to reiterate to my kids in my classroom was that, like, I make mistakes too. Mm-hmm. And sometimes, like, I need to be checked.
Yeah.
And, you know, not that that's your job to check me all the time, but, like, there's a respectful way to talk about how we can all work together and mm-hmm. coexist in this classroom together.
Yeah.
So was behavior, like, a strong problem with you guys in your classrooms?
Every year is different. Mm-hmm. I would say that I do a pretty good job with my classroom management. I mean, I run a really tight ship. I mean, I'm extremely firm, but I always tell the kids I'm fair, but I'm firm. Mm-hmm. And I say, here are the rules. My expectations are not going to change. I'm not going to deviate from it. And I've had a couple tough years where it's like, no matter what I'm trying to do, it's not working. And I've had some years where it's like, teacher of the year, that's me. Like, I can do this forever. And then the next year, all of a sudden, you're like, I'm the worst teacher on the planet. What is going on? But what I do love about, like, at my school, we have the PLC model and we have, like, the teams.
Yeah.
And it's so awesome having other teams or other teachers we can consult with mm-hmm. and be like, you know, oh, Jess, what's your problem with Casey? Like, what are you seeing in the classroom? It's mm-hmm. like, oh, good, I'm seeing the same exact thing. Where elementary is way different, where yeah. you're just kind of stuck on that island. Like,
yeah.
So it's nice working with other teachers on our team because we can talk about, hey, this works, this doesn't work. Mm-hmm. And we just see things sometimes from a different perspective, which is good.
Yeah.
Was it hard at the elementary? Oh, were you saying?
Well, yeah, I just want to ask you. So the teams that you guys had, so was that, you said just in y'all's department, like you said with the PLC or?
Yeah, well, so we've got, so our team, we have like we have our team teachers. So mm-hmm. English, science, okay. social studies, math. We meet, what, 3 times a week? Okay. And then we have our job alikes, which I meet with the other seventh grade science teachers 2 times a week.
Okay.
So we do a lot of chit-chatting about stuff.
But that's different, like that's separate from like a student assistant team meetings and like things like that.
Oh, we'll have those. Yeah.
Right. Okay, okay,
yeah.
okay.
Well, yeah, we'll have those. And, you know, I think most teachers will agree that it's a challenge to get to that point to where you can have a meeting with admin, parents, and the kid.
Right.
There's multi layers you have to go through to get to
the
that.
The 3 tiers.
Yeah. PBS. Yeah. There you go. Yeah. There's multiple layers.
The 3 tiers. So every student starts off tier 1, and yep. is, you know, as the higher mm-hmm. they go up on the tiers, the worse mm-hmm. their behavior.
Right.
And obviously, there's reasons why it takes a while before you can have those meetings, but I know a lot of teachers wish that it could happen quicker.
So, yeah. Okay. So with that being said, so do you think when a lot of teachers saying, I'm not getting the support I need from my admin,
yeah,
right? It's like a catch 22 almost, because it's like on one end, the admin love to say, well, I mean, are you doing what you're supposed to do before mm-hmm. you even call me, or before you even, yeah. you know, send the kid down there? What strategies did you put in place mm-hmm. that, you know what I'm saying? That,
yeah, 100%.
So, sometimes, and then I'm gonna be honest, I love us educators, don't get it twisted, but sometimes we don't do everything we're supposed to do correctly yeah. first before we
well,
do
and
that.
I think it's that idea sometimes. Of like mm-hmm. one person or, you know, a couple people ruin it for the rest of us.
Right.
Yeah.
In the sense of like, you all, like, we all have a teacher in a building that just like is constantly sending kids down to yeah. the office. Like, it's just like a rotating mm-hmm. door.
And will violate every procedure while they do it.
Right. Yeah. Right. And I'm sorry, but like, that's not me. Like mm-hmm. I prefer to handle stuff in my classroom
yeah.
unless it was like a safety risk for everyone. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm not getting other people involved. Mm-hmm. So I think that's like, it's that thing of like, right. I'm going to say something very controversial.
Uh-oh.
I'm going to say something very controversial.
Do it.
I know that a lot of teachers roll their eyes at the like, well, have you tried to build relationships first?
Mm-hmm.
I know that a lot of teachers roll their eyes mm-hmm. at that, but like,
that's a great
seriously.
Strategy,
yeah,
right.
But honestly, and there are teachers who have and are and have those students who that doesn't work with.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's when teachers roll their eyes. I think they're probably talking about those types of students. But at the same time, it's like, I never had a problem with classroom management because mm-hmm. I always made sure that those kids felt loved, seen, heard, and respected okay. in my classroom.
So that's beautiful. So that's like when they tell us to have our restorative conferences with the students,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
And we set the kid down and we give them a reflection sheet and we say, okay, now let's talk about the behavior that you, you know what I'm saying, is simplified. Mm-hmm. And now let's talk about, do you understand why consequences are needed for your behavior, yeah, and actions, mm-hmm, right? And they always tell us, you know, make sure when you do this, do it in a safe space, you know. And the safe space is just simply like, you wouldn't want to do that in the middle of the classroom, yeah, like, with all the other kids.
Right,
you
know, don't do that.
Right, right. Yeah, yeah. So you want to, and they always tell us, you know, make sure that we separate the student from the behavior.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Because, yeah, you don't want to just be like, you're this, you like, you don't never want them just to identify with that specific,
correct,
behavior.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You want to separate them as a human, as a person.
Yeah.
And then let's acknowledge your behavior. You know? Uh-huh. So these are all the things that your admin, they're going to make ask you, did you do this? Did,
yeah,
you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I say all that to say, as long as you're documenting everything.
Absolutely. Yes.
Document everything. Oh, because, yeah, at this point, what did they say? If it wasn't documented, it never happened.
Right.
Yeah. So make sure you got your ABC chart. Right? I paid attention in PD. Yeah. make sure you're documenting dates. Have your ABC chart. Y'all know, mm-hmm, what that is. Mm. And so now when you present this to your admin, you can say, well, these are the steps that I've taken. I literally utilize every strategy,
right,
possible.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah.
Please help.
Yeah. Yeah. You have good admin, you have bad admin.
Right.
You know, you've got, right, some that are willing then to be like, hey, you've done your darndest. Let's solve this. And then you also have some admin that they'll dodge. And they'll, right, be like, you know what, I'm not going to take care of this. They don't want to have the battle. And I understand that a lot of, like, school principals, they're middle management. They've got bosses, right, that are telling them what they're supposed to do. So, right, I know sometimes I can be a principal apologist, but there's times where it's like, we have to look at some things through their perspective, which is good. But I know a lot of teachers everywhere, it's like, we just want support. You know, we want support, and being able to say, hey, we have a major problem with Johnny. We need to have a conversation about it. I wish in schools it was easier to go that route and,
right,
just say, can we just have a sit down conversation and talk about this? Because,
right,
this is starting to affect other kids in the,
right,
classroom.
Right.
Because, yeah. Yeah. And it's hard, you know, because I know in a lot of schools, the thing is, like, we want to keep all kids in school. Yeah, so do, mm-hmm, I. We want to keep, mm-hmm, all kids in school, and they're anti-school suspension. But when it comes to, like, not suspending kids or getting them out of the general ed classroom, where I challenge some of that is, like, okay, you have classrooms full of really, really great kids, and you might have one kid who's consistently having a hard time and blowing up the classroom. Those kids in class that are behaving are going to go home and tell their parents, hey, this is what's going on at school. Mm-hmm. And then a lot of times, if it's really consistent, happening all the time, a lot of those kids end up switching schools. And then you kind of create a vacuum of a lot of the solid students sometimes will end up leaving because there's situations where a kid, and it's not always the kid's fault. It might just be they don't have the support there to help the,
yep,
kid. The kid,
yeah,
might be having,
and,
mental,
yeah,
health issues.
Right.
And the,
right,
general ed classroom is not the best thing for him.
Correct.
So a different setting is good. Not suspending the kid and saying, you got to go somewhere else. You know, get no,
yeah,
school for you. Now, sometimes a separate setting is good for him.
Right. No, and everything you just said, because at that point, I mean, up tier three. At that level, and the counselors has already been, you know, invited, and you know, they're, everybody's doing their thing. And at that point, it is, like you said, the general educational classroom might not be the perfect setting,
yeah,
and he might need a referral,
right,
you,
yeah,
know, at that point after that. So,
mm-hmm,
it's just so many things that has to take place. And again, that's why I advocate, I get it. Like, let's just make sure we're doing what we're supposed to do on our end as, mm-hmm, educators, you know, so that way it's undeniable when we do say, no, I need help.
Yeah.
Help me.
Right.
Yeah, definitely. You
know? Right.
And then the child is getting the proper help that it,
yep,
needs.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, and then that's what it's all about at the end of the day. It's about what we can do to make the students' lives better,
yeah,
rather than, mm-hmm, like, we're not trying to make anyone's lives miserable, mm-hmm, or, you know, single,
yeah,
anyone
they don't
out.
Pay us,
like,
enough,
just,
for that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I had a PD, and they're talking about, and I've mentioned this PD before, he was talking about de-escalation training. You know,
okay,
how to de-escalate situations. And good advice he gave was, he's like, when a kid is starting to lose it in the classroom, it's not about you. And, mm-hmm, I think I catch myself as a teacher where I make it, mm-hmm, about me. And it's like, why are you doing this to me? Like, this is frustrating me.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's like, now this isn't about me. There's other things going on in this kid's life that it just happens. Okay, he's going to blow up in my classroom.
Yeah.
That,
right,
doesn't mean I'm,
right,
going to justify what he's doing and be like, this,
right,
is okay. But it just helps me take myself out of the situation a little bit to be less emotional,
right,
and then let, you know, objectively solve the situation. Because when you have that much emotion involved as a teacher, it you know, emotion clouds your judgment.
Right.
It absolutely does. But that's way easier said than done. And I'm not perfect by any means. There's definitely times when I'm like, I have to step out of the classroom because I can't separate myself right now from this situation.
Right. And like in that same vein, I remember having a student who was not responding to my classroom management style at all. And he had needs that weren't being met, like emotional, and he wasn't getting the support that he needed.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't take that in as a teacher. I didn't recognize that as a problem. I was like, what's wrong with me?
Yeah.
Why am I failing this kid? And the amount of nights that I like was awake thinking about how I could fix it.
Right.
And that's, I think teachers are doing that all the time in their classrooms and taking that home and taking on that pressure. And that's not your burden to bear. That's not your pressure to have.
Carry a lot of baggage as teachers.
Yeah.
We carry a lot of baggage. I don't know. Middle school classroom management is different than like when I was doing high school. High school, you could have a lot more crucial conversations and be pretty reasonable with the kids. And like, all right, I guess I can start to understand it. And at the middle school level, it's a lot more of act than think. Like they don't think through their actions like older people do. And I catch myself all the time as a full grown adult being like, why aren't these kids thinking rationally, thinking like how I think as an adult? It's like, well, because they're 12. Like their brains aren't developed yet.
Yeah.
Like, oh yeah. Their frontal lobes are far from development. So that's one of those things that I try to remind
myself. These are also the same people that think Axe body spray is the cure for everything.
Yeah. So. Yeah. Yeah. You throw some Axe chocolate really quick. Oh yeah. Oh,
that's not real.
Problem solved.
Problem solved. We'll get all the dates now. Girls are gonna love this.
How much do you feel like discipline referrals are effective today?
Ooh, that's a great question. And here's such a crappy answer. It depends on the school.
Boom.
Like it's a terrible answer, but it's true. It depends on your admin. Yeah. The admin that I'm at right now at my school are so good. They are very, very, very good admin. They're extremely fair and firm. And I think it starts so top down. Mm-hmm. When you have a school and you have when you have your policies written out, you need to have behavior policies written out word for word on what you do.
Yeah.
And you don't deviate from the policy.
Right.
I get so frustrated hearing teachers talk about when they have admin who don't follow their own district policy.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, no, your policy is there for a reason.
Right.
You have to follow that policy. Right. Otherwise, lines get blurred really quickly and then it doesn't mean anything.
Right.
Right.
But what do you think? What do you think about that stuff?
Well, so I know growing up, as a recipient of many discipline referrals.
You get in trouble?
Ooh, man. Casey Mack,
I surprised a lot of people when they found out I became a teacher.
Oh.
But but I mean, for me back then, that was like the, oh no, like I hated, you know, to receive one of those.
Yeah.
And even though I, you know, got multiple ones, but still, I would get in trouble. Like, it would be, like, very effective, especially for my household, you know?
Yeah.
Now I see, as a teacher, you know, write-ups, it's like a pass to the bathroom at this point. You know what I'm saying? It's just, the kids are like, I'll take another one of those. I'll eat those for lunch. I mean, it's just nothing, you know?
Yeah.
And again, I know every school and every student, you know, will differ, but at least with my school, that's the culture that I see. Like, it's they don't really help. What about you? Well, I mean, you're in elementary, so y'all don't.
I never really dealt with that.
Did you ever receive them when you was younger?
No.
What about you? Did you get them?
I think I ever had. I had one conversation with a principal. I think I was a third grader. There was. I got in trouble because there was a girl who had bad breath, and the kid standing next to me called her breath mints because she needed breath mints. And then I was somehow involved and I was like, I never called her anything. So it was, it was a waste of time. I remember even as a third grader being like, why am I in trouble? I was just standing there. I didn't even say anything. But what I see a lot of that, where teachers get frustrated with classroom management and keeping kids in the classroom is when kids start getting violent. When there's throwing desks, when there's stuff like that, man, teachers have a hard time with having those kids come back to the classroom because it's a safety thing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it's like there's no quiet coyote that can get a kid to stop throwing a chair.
Right. Like that. Well, just... and it's almost like you disrespected my house.
Yeah.
Like I need some time to like repair the house that you decided you wanted to destroy. Yeah. So
and it's like as a teacher, it's like I care for kids, right. I've obviously, but if it's going to put me in harm's way, I'm sorry, I don't want that kid in my classroom every day.
Right.
If this kid's consistently harming people, I'm not going to put myself in a situation that can all of a sudden now, you know, cause more issues to my family and loved ones. Like, I'm not going to do that.
Right.
And I think a lot of teachers feel that frustration right now because it's hard to get those kids out because of different policies that that exist. So I don't know. I'm not saying you got to expel the kids, but if the kid is flipping tables and throwing chairs, the general ed classroom setting might not be for them.
Right. Okay.
Now here's something real quick that definitely ties in with, especially piggybacking off what you're saying. Because again, remember the title is Classroom Management Strategies They Teach You at School versus What It's Like in Real Life. Now, in those situations, right? You got that kid throwing that desk all across the room. They'll tell you.
Proximity.
Are you using positive reinforcement behavior strategies?
Now, great throw. Here's Jolly Rancher.
Right. So I think just, like, that's the part.
I like how you threw the chair. I like how you threw the desk.
How well can you implement positive?
Thank you for missing me.
Right. Ooh, that's how you almost took my head off. Good job. Next time, aim for below the neck. What are you supposed to say? Like, I don't think that works. Like, I think that's, and again, I say it again, every classroom situation varies, but situations like that, it's hard to keep that positive reinforcement behavior. I mean, I get the whole thing of like, if you're moving from small groups to station and you're just reminding them on their behavior before they make this transition from small group. Remember, and you know, I get to say, hey, remember, don't be talking when you're going to your station. I get that.
Yeah.
But, you know, hey, remember, level zero when transitioning to your station. I get that part.
It's like, I liked how Jimmy didn't talk. Right. Everybody, well, look how Jimmy does it. Yeah, that works good.
Certain things work in that situation. Yeah. But like you said, when you got situations that's so irate, you cannot implement that right
now. No. Yeah. And it's those huge, big blow-ups. Usually the best thing to do is just evacuate the classroom. Evacuate, you know, get everybody out of there. And I honestly think when I think, you know, going back to like college and what they teach, I think it's easy to teach those big situations. Those are pretty black and white things. Mm-hmm. Safety is the number one priority. Get the kids out of there.
Yeah. Right.
What I think needs to be taught more of are the tier two, middle of the road behavior problems.
Just blatant disrespect.
Just blatant disrespect. Blatant, like, no, I'm not going to do my work today.
Right.
Well, please, no, I'm not going to do it.
Right.
Like, those are the things that are the most challenging.
Yeah.
I think the big issues, those are relatively easy in the moment to make the right decision on how to handle it.
Yeah.
Like, if a kid is flipping desk, yeah, you probably shouldn't have everybody else in there.
That's tier eight, by the way.
but if you have kids who are just straight up like no, I'm not gonna put my hood down. Okay, well then you have to really unpack those situations.
Those are the situations that were usually the most emotionally draining for me.
Oh yeah,
because it's like I need to show that I'm an authority figure here, but I also don't want to like ruin the classroom vibe.
Yeah, yeah. Like, don't want to ruin the vibe. Don't
ruin the vibe of the party.
Please don't kill my vibe.
Yeah,
that's funny. Well, and it's I was thinking the other day, just thinking about classrooms and how classrooms are set up, and I think like you talked about being an authority figure in the classroom. People have to remember that classrooms are not a democracy. Right. In the classroom, it's not a democracy. Right. It's not a democracy. We're not voting on what you're doing.
Right.
Correct.
I'm the teacher. I'm in charge.
Correct.
I'm a professional. If it was a democracy and we voted on what to do, guess what the kids want to do every day? Play Chromebook games.
Right.
Like, it's not a democracy.
Right.
There's times when you're the teacher, you have to be in charge.
Correct.
You have to lead. And yeah, people, I see it all the time, like, well, just let a kid wear a hat. Let a kid wear a hood. Well, if the school policy is here's the rule, you have to enforce the rules because you're an employee. Like, that's just, we don't make the rules, we just enforce them. And you have to show, hey, I'm the one in charge here because I'm the teacher. That's just how it has to be.
Right.
And what helps that is if everybody on your campus is on the same page as well.
Yeah, no weak links.
Right, because if one is lax on it, then it makes your job harder if somebody who's trying to enforce that and trying to, you know.
I think across the board, like whether it's the classroom or whole school, like expectations have to be clear, and there has to be a way, like, this is what happens when you don't do this, or, you know, like, there has to be very, very clear guidelines. Right. There's no gray area. Mm-hmm. It is black and white. You don't take off your hood, then this is what happens. Yep. And
Mr. Richardson, let me keep it on. Well, Mr. Richardson is a jerk. And he's making it hard for everybody.
They sound fun. Yay. But I think, like, the big thing, too, about classroom management is, like, don't be afraid if something doesn't work with one class to, like, move on to another thing.
Yeah.
And I think, like, that was something that I really had a hard time doing. Like, what? Like, the points? Yeah. Like, that's not working with you guys? And again, don't be afraid to learn, too, new strategies. Like, when I first started teaching this school that I was at, their classroom management was a required clip chart. So, like, kids would have to go up to this chart if they made a bad decision. Yeah. And they would have to move their clip down. And then, like, going to another school, I learned that that could be degrading for students. Yeah. Absolutely. It
public
would be.
Shaming, always
right.
good.
Right. Or, you know, or punishing the whole class for something that one student did. Like, I used to do, like, the point system. And, like, I would erase a point if one person was talking, and that was detrimental. So, like, don't be afraid to learn and grow and say, this probably wasn't a great choice for a classroom management strategy, so I'm going to move on to another one.
Yeah, I think we know that public shaming usually doesn't do the best.
It does not.
Doesn't do the best. No.
It doesn't make the teachers feel well.
No.
Doesn't make the kids feel well.
Right.
I really liked what my admin did a couple years ago at my school. We were having some pretty big behavior issues across the board of kids just blatantly not following the rules. Mm-hmm. And we had a big staff meeting, and our principal, he was like, we can have no weak links here. Mm-hmm. We have to all be on
That's
the same
awesome.
Page. Mm-hmm. And it's so important for an admin to say that. So important just to have that across the board and say the expectation is the same from you as you.
Correct.
And it's easy to deviate from the rules once you get tired. And I've caught myself doing that where it's like, do I have the emotion in me to have this fight about this kid wearing this hood in the hallway? It's like, not right now, but it's worth in the moment, you know, kind of grabbing that little bit extra energy to solve the problem in that moment so it doesn't snowball into bigger moments later. Because you times that by 100 some teachers in a building, that adds up.
Right.
You know, that adds up. But
real quick, let me ask you guys this. How does it make you feel when you know that your students are mad at you?
Ooh.
And I say this because a lot of times with classroom management, they don't want to be the bad guy. The teachers don't want to be the bad guy.
Yeah.
They it's almost like that complex of I'm a people pleaser and I like people to like me. You know, I need people to like me. It can kind of affect their classroom management because they're
I'm glad you bring it up. Here's what I always tell kids. I don't need a 13-year-old friend.
Boom.
That's what I tell kids. I don't need you to be my friend. I don't need you to be my friend. I want to have fun in this classroom, but the objective on the board is my job.
Yeah,
I have to teach that. So we can either have fun while we do it, or if you want to act the way that you're acting, we're going to go down a different path and we're gonna get that. Because I don't need a 13-year-old friend.
Correct.
I don't need that. What do you think? How do you handle it?
First of all, I need friends that know how to take baths that I can borrow money from. I don't need a 13-year-old.
Wait, you never asked a student for money?
You close out on that? What's your thoughts?
I think that with my first year teaching, I really struggled with that. I don't know that I could handle
It's easy for young teachers. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. I wanted to be the cool teacher. I wanted to be the one that everyone loved. I think, you know, going through my teaching career, it was a little bit easier to have that moment, like, knock it off.
Mm-hmm.
Or just... And they're like, oh, like, she means it because her face is really mean right now.
Yeah.
And they know, like, I think a lot of, like, and it helped that some of the teachers that they had before were yellers.
Yeah.
Like, they always yelled all the time. It was yelling. So it was helpful for me to, like, be like, go down to a volume 2 and be like, stop that right now. And that usually stops really quick.
Yeah. And I want the kids to like me. Like, I do. I don't, it's not like I'm saying I want the kids to like me because I need it personally.
Right. No, I
don't need
it. The motivation of like why they
like
me. The
motivation.
Yeah, I mean, that's therapy. You know? Yeah. Like, you got to unpack that in therapy. But
I want them to like me because we all know that if the kid likes and respects the teacher, they're going to learn more from the teacher.
Right.
So yeah, of course I want the kid to like me, right. Not because I want to fill that void in my heart.
Correct.
Or I want another 13-year-old to be my friend.
Right.
It's just, like, I don't know. And I think more teachers, especially in college, need to hear that. Like, mm-hmm. hey, and I also wish they would tell teachers in college that kids crave structure. Mm. Kids really do crave structure. Yeah. They don't want a teacher who's going to show up and just be loosey-goosey, willy-nilly. Right. I don't care what we do today. We're just going to have fun.
Right.
Kids, for the most part, like to have structure. Mm-hmm. They really do. And the kids that are going to be classroom management issues, they're going to be issues if it's extreme structured or if it's no structure at all.
Correct.
They're gonna, those issues just rise to the top. It's just how it goes.
Yeah.
So shout out to all those educators out there, ones who are struggling with classroom management skills. Like I said, get with your coworkers, get with a good solid team, mm-hmm. and let them help you out because it's definitely a necessity. And shout out to all those OG vet that got that run that tight ship and they got that classroom management like, boy. Hey, Miss Taylor, she was one of the coldest teachers on my campus. She could leave her classroom. And I'd be like, who's covering your class? I wish they would act a fool while I'm not there.
Oh.
And they never did.
Oh, man.
Amazing.
So, shout out to everybody, man. We love y'all, man. And we love you guys because you guys have been so awesome.
Oh.
So fun.
And you've been great, too.
You've been so amazing.
You want more? Are you fishing for more compliments?
Yes, notice, that's why I did this.
You have such nice
earrings.
Yes.
I love
your
dog. It.
I love your.
I used to love your vest until now.
Finance bro, 403B. If you need advice, talk. Just kidding.
Teach style box. Thank y'all, man. It's been one episode again. Thank you for tuning in to the Teachers Off Duty podcast, man. I've been your man, KC Mack. You can follow me at KC Mack Funny on all platforms.
Gabe Dannenbring at Gabe Dannenbring on all platforms.
And Jess Smith, Teacher Tales of Miss Smith, and on the Hot Mess Teacher Express.
Hey, where are you going for tour?
Oh, we are going to Poughkeepsie, New York, Akron, Ohio, Wabash, Indiana, Joliet, Illinois, which is sold out. Thank you, Joliet!
Woo!
And Toledo, Ohio. You can still get your tickets. Make sure you guys click the link in the description. We can't wait to see you. Can't wait to make you laugh. But yeah, man, and make sure you check out my man on Netflix. Surviving Paradise.
Surviving Paradise. It's a show.
Yeah.
it's a reality show. It'll be fun.
Make sure you guys also follow Board Teachers on all platforms. Make sure you guys follow the podcast on all platforms. And remember, Supercast, we got that good content for you. You definitely don't want to miss it. A lot of hilarious things going on behind the scenes. What you got?
2024. Tour dates are now out. Check it out.
I was just about to get to that.
Were you?
No, I wasn't. I didn't know what he was talking about. He's giving me bunny ears. I'm going to say, man, it's not the time to play.
Can't see the cue cards in the studio.
But this light is blocking the other hand. I just saw it too. And I was like, 2024 comedy dates. Oh, man, we are so excited.
Oh, my gosh.
Man, we cannot wait to see you guys. We're going to be everywhere all of the month of January, February, March, April, and May. You don't want to miss it. Make sure you guys get on the link. For all the cities and dates, we have some shows already online.
Mm-hmm.
Show already sold out in 2024.
Ooh. Okay, just
come on now.
Maine, just get ready because Jess is going back on the road.
Ooh.
For boom, the boom. Maine shows.
People live there?
Boom, 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 boom.
They
I
live.
Thought it was just
you
a myth.
You can't get that from here.
Oh, don't you know, huh?
Oh, wait a minute. Say important.
Important.
Say here.
Here.
Look at that.